Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, June 20th, and we're headed into these hot summer days. Tomorrow's the first official day of summer, and we're having a hot day here in Madisonville. I'm trying to get some work done around here, around the church, but it is a blessing, and thank God for His blessings. Could be worse. Amen. Could be a lot hotter, but I thank God for His blessings. Beautiful day, and we're glad to be able to be at your place of listening, been able to broadcast over WSOF and WAJJ Radio as well. We appreciate those of you that go to our website at www.wsof.org. And I'd like to encourage you to go there and listen to our podcast. You can download those and listen to them at your convenience. There's also a link there to our church website, and you can download sermons there to listen to at your convenience as well, that I hope will be a blessing to you. Well, I want to thank God for His blessings on us this day. Several things have happened today that we have reason to rejoice. I mentioned to you that Mrs. Hall got to come home yesterday. They got in yesterday evening. And then I got a text just a few moments ago before making this broadcast that they had gotten the test back and no cancer in Mrs. Hall's thyroid, that tumor that they found there. So we're praising God for that. Trusted that that's how it would be, but now rejoicing in the fact that the doctors have confirmed that. And so glory to God. Thank God that they're able to be at home, Brother and Sister Hall, resting in their own home and their own bed. You know, that's much better. And we're grateful for that. Amen. My mother also resting at home and doing much better than she has done. And we're grateful for that as well. And then another good news that we got today, two things more. My father-in-law did have the biopsy on his lungs and said it was very painful. And they didn't put him to sleep. And he was hurting quite a bit from it. But he had a couple of x-rays making sure that the lung didn't collapse and everything's all right and everything's going fine. They were going to allow him to go on home. And of course, they didn't get word yet as to the results of that biopsy, but do keep them in your prayers as well. He came through it well, and we're grateful and thankful for that. And then Whitney, our daughter-in-law, had a doctor's appointment today, and they said the baby's doing fine, growing well, and progressing well, and so we're grateful for that. I'd like for you to keep Whitney and Leanne in your prayers, if you will. We've got two daughters-in-law expecting children now this summer, and so I'd like for you to remember them in your prayers, all right? And then also, we've got a couple ladies here in the church still yet expecting children, and that's coming up on us quickly, so pray for these two ladies, Miss Jennifer, and also Miss Amanda. Pray for them. And then the little children in our church. We've got babies around here. We're grateful for that and blessed by those babies. We want to pray for God's strength and help with these children. Also want you to pray for Mrs. Sandy Woodard. Sister Woodard and her daughter Sarah are going on a trip, and they're going up into Canada. I think Megan, their daughter Megan, also went with them, and so I want to pray for them that God would bless them and keep them safe, allow them to have a good time as well, and that the Lord just have His way there. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. If you will, pray with us at this time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You and thank You for Your goodness and Your blessings. Father, I thank You for how good You've been throughout our life, but all these good news things that we've gotten today, that Mrs. Hall does not have cancer, that my father-in-law came through his biopsy well, that our little grandchild is progressing well in the womb. Father, we're grateful for all these things, but I want to thank You, Lord, most of all for the best news, and that is that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, that Jesus Christ not only died, but on the third day got up from the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and that Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that You're willing to save whosoever will. Lord, I want to thank You that You're still in the saving business. I pray, dear God, that You'd save some sinner even now. Father, I pray You'd deal with that sinner that's away from God. As Brother Oliver B. Green used to say, save that sinner that's nearest hell. Dear God, I pray You would. Father, I pray You'd help the saints to be strengthened. Lord, in this life of faith, so often we fail, so often we slip and we get weak in our faith. Oh, Lord, strengthen our faith, I pray, and help us to believe God. Lord, I pray, help us to believe no matter what, because we've got a God that we can believe in. We've got a God that is trustworthy, and there is no reason whatsoever for us to doubt our God. As one song said, no need to doubt Him now. I want to thank You, God, that there is no need to doubt You. Lord, I pray that You continue to strengthen Mrs. Hall, help her to get better day by day. I pray You continue to strengthen my mother and help her to get better day by day as well. Lord, I pray help my father-in-law as he recovers from his biopsy and the needs there. Help the children here in the church. Dear God, I pray help our church to grow and prosper and be what You want it to be. Use the broadcast now, Lord. Again, I pray save sinners, reclaim backsliders, strengthen the saints, and get the glory due Thy name. Strengthen our faith, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us. If you want to be looking in the scriptures now, Hebrews chapter number 11, where we'll be turning as we have been for some time now, Hebrews chapter 11, and right before we go looking at the scriptures, bringing the message on faith again, let me play this good song by our family. This is one of the newer songs from the new CD that our children did and just made this past year, and it's a real blessing to us. I trust that it will be to you as well. Our children singing, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That comes from a psalm. The psalmist said that. I once was young, now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm glad we can trust our God. I'm glad our God has the answer, and He has us in mind. Amen. Has His eyes on us. He'll take care of us. Thank God. Well, here's the Shepherd family singing. I trust it'll be a blessing to your heart. And then we'll look right into the scriptures in Hebrews chapter number 11. Our Bible reading for this week is found in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 17 through 19. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Well, as you know, we started yesterday a sermon on this particular set of verses in which we're dealing with Abraham again. We mentioned this is the second section dealing with Abraham in this chapter. We're dealing with the heroes of the faith. And as we're looking at these heroes, these are men, these are people, men and women, that the Bible calls them elders that obtained a good report. How did they do that? By faith. For only by faith can we please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Amen. And we notice that this particular section here is dealing with the commitment of faith. This is faith and its commitment. With Abraham before, we dealt with his calling, how that he was called to come forth out of the land there of his family. And he was called to go into a land that was foreign unto him, and yet he did it. And now we're coming upon what I believe is the most powerful part of the faith, the most powerful point of Abraham's faith, when he reaches what I believe is the climax, the pinnacle of his faith here, in the fact that he is tested again and again and again, and he's tested in this particular point. Matter of fact, we mentioned that there are 7 points that I want to deal with this commitment of faith. And the first one is the probing of faith. In other words, faith has to be tested and faith has to be tried. These first few words, first 7 words in verse number 17 of chapter number 11, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. That word tried is translated tempt or tempted. Of the words that deal with tempted. Now, there's 2 ways you can use that word. I mentioned yesterday. One way means to solicit or entice to do evil. And that's not what's happening here because he's tried by God. He's not tempted to do evil. Here he is tested. He is examined whether or not he'll do what God says for him to do. Amen? And so that's what God was doing. He was probing Abraham's faith to see the character of his faith, to see the quality of his faith, to see how deep that his faith might run. Well, we preached yesterday on this broadcast, in this probing of the faith, I talked about the regularity of the test. In other words, Abraham had been tested again and again and again. He had been tested with the forsaking test, which he passed. He forsook the land of Ur of the Chaldees. Then he was tested with a famine, and he slipped a little bit in that famine test because once arriving in Canaan, And the famine came, then he went down into Egypt. And then the falsehood test there in Egypt when he told a story about his wife, Sarah, which was legitimately his half-sister. And again, that's not right today, but in that day, it was before the gene pool was so contaminated and it had not yet been restricted in those days. But today, that's not the right thing to do. But nonetheless, when he got down there, he told a story that was not the whole truth. And so he failed and slipped again in this test. He passed the forsaken test. He didn't do as good in the famine test. He didn't do as good in the forsaken or the falsehood test. Then there's the family test in Garden Lot. He did part with Lot, let Lot go his way. He passed that test. And then you see the fortune test when those wicked men in Sodom said, "We'll give you money for rescuing us." He said, "I don't want your money. I wouldn't take a shoe latchet off of you, or else you'd say that you've made Abraham rich." He said, "It's my God that has made me rich." Amen. Now, so we see all these different tests that I mentioned to you, the famine, the falsehood, the fatherhood test when he had a relationship with Hagar, had a son named Ishmael, instead of waiting on God and having a son through Sarah, as God had said that he should and would, and he did, but that was the son of promise, was Isaac, not Ishmael. And so he failed in some of these tests. I was drawing a point yesterday that not only the regularity, that at one test after another, and they increased, by the way, in strength and in extremity, they increase till it comes to this foremost test, the greatest of all tests, when he's offered or he's asked to offer up his only son, Isaac. And he passed this test. Thank God he did. And we'll see more about that as we go along. But I talked to you not only about the regularity of his test, but I ended up talking about the response that Abraham had. I said that he failed. And some of these tests, I don't know that we could say he totally failed, but that he just didn't do as well as he could have. And so Abraham just kept right on going. My point is, Abraham, when he failed a test, he did not stop, but rather he admitted his failure. He redoubled his efforts to do better. And I want to say to you, when you fail on a test, whether it's a test of faith or whether it's a test in school, real school, then when you make a failure or you don't do as good as you could, you know what you should do? You ought to decide you're going to do better next time. You ought to plan, prepare, amen, and perform better the next time when you come to that test. Amen. Now, let me go on to the third part of this probing of the faith. I want to mention to you the reason for these tests. Now, why do they have tests in school? Do they do it just to embarrass the student? No, they don't. They don't do that to embarrass the student. They don't do that to ridicule the student. They do that to observe and examine exactly how well that student is learning his lesson, and that they might better help him learn his lessons. Amen. In other words, they do that to show him his weak points where he might improve. Can I tell you that God allows trouble to come our way? Not to ridicule us, not to mock us, not to sit back and laugh at us when we fail. No. God allows tests to come our way to show us what is in us and where we need to work and where we need help. Amen. To show us room for improvement. Thank God. Amen. And so that's exactly what these tests of faith is about. I'm going to tell you, when students go through tests in school, it makes them a better student. Amen. It'll make them a better citizen. Can I say to you that tests from God will make you a better servant of the Lord and a better disciple of the Lord Jesus? These tests from God are not to embarrass nor to destroy us. They're not to weaken our faith. They're to show us where our faith is weak, that it might strengthen our faith. These tests, friend, that come your way are not to hurt you. They're to help you. They are actually to bless you. Amen. Now, tests can do two important things in your life. They can increase our faith, and they can improve our service. Amen. They can increase our faith, and they can improve our service. Now, think with me just a moment on these two things. This increasing of our faith that can be the reason for our test. Spiritual growth is a constant need. We need to grow. And just as any muscle must be exercised in order to grow, our faith muscle, if I could say it that way, must be exercised. God is never content with us being stale. God is never content with us being stagnant. Oh, no, friend. God wants us to grow. He talks about growing, and he wants us to grow as newborn babes, is how you descend the seer of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That's what he said in 2 Peter. Amen. That we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow up to be a full man in the faith. Amen. It is a shame for us to grow content in our faith. It is a shame for us to grow content in our spiritual life. Amen. Testings can be a learning experience. Abraham learned from this testing of Isaac. Amen. And for one thing, he learned that God would provide. Genesis 22:13. Abraham knew it in his mind. Abraham believed it in his heart. But when he saw it with his eyes, when he experienced it in his life, oh, it made that knowledge that much more powerful, and it made his faith that much more strong, don't you know? Amen. I'm going to tell you, there may be things you've read in the Bible, you know it in your head, and you really believe it in your heart. But when you come to experience it in your life, oh, thank God, what a difference. Amen. What a difference, hallelujah, that experience makes. Amen. Abraham learned by example that God would provide. Amen. Abraham was in this test given a renewal of the blessings. And that not just that he would have a seed, but that his seed would increase, thank God, and that the gospel would go forth, as we see in Genesis 22. Amen. That test resulted, I believe, in the improvement of his faith. Amen. It helped the increase of his faith. Then, not only it helps the increase of our faith, but it helps the improvement of our service. Now, if you know somebody that's been in the military, you know that they have to go through different tests in order to advance in rank. You pass a test and you're given a higher rank. In that higher rank, you're given an enlarged sphere of service. That's how it is in spirituality as well. I don't believe God puts people in places of service until first they have passed some tests in order to be in that place of service. Amen. That's why God says not a novice when he's talking about a man being a bishop. Not a novice. Lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into the snare and the condemnation of the devil. Amen. You know what he's saying? Prove. You got to prove yourself. And God proves us before he puts us in a wide sphere of service. He may start us out in some place, and we thank God for it. It seems so wide. But if we'll be faithful there, and we'll pass the test there, God may very well enlarge our place of service. Amen. You notice Abraham's service is a great and tremendous example to all of us. He passed this great test of offering up Isaac, and it gave Abraham the opportunity to present a beautiful picture of the gospel. Not only did we see Abraham offering his son, but we see God offering his son. Oh, what a picture we see. How do we see that? Because Abraham passed the test. Amen. It enlarged Abraham's service. It enlarged Abraham's witness. It improved his service. Friend, faith comes, with faith comes testing. And when the testings come, there's a reason for it. Let me give you the last one today on this thing about the trying of our faith or the probing of our faith. I want you to notice the rigor of these tests. Not only were they regular, not only did we look at his response and we looked at the reason, but I want you to notice the rigor. I say this, the farther you advance in school and in the school of faith, the more rigorous will be the tests. You know, the first grader does not experience as difficult a test as the senior in high school. The severity of the test for Abraham in sacrificing Isaac was the great and grand crisis of Abraham's life. It was the great extent of Abraham's faith, the foremost test that he could ever face. And although Abraham didn't sit at that time, it was really a great compliment to Abraham that God would put him in such a severe test. Because God does not test someone so severely unless that person has grown and actually has grown strong in faith. They have progressed much in the school of faith. Can I tell you, friend, when you face those tough, maybe I'll say toughest tests, you ought to recognize it is a compliment from God that God knows he can trust you, that you have been tested and you've been tried, and God knows he can test you a little bit more, and he can trust you in the test. Most saints, whenever they advance in faith, they don't advance far enough to face these severe tests. Amen. If you do face a severe test, don't go around feeling like you failed miserably and that God is chasing you, friend. If you're in the midst of a severe test, I'm telling you, it may very well indicate the great success of your spiritual growth. Amen. And it may very well show you how that God is using you to bring to pass His glory and His honor. Amen. Amen. Well, I know there are people that will pervert this truth, and it'll cause them to think that when they're being chastened for sin, that they're actually in a severe test of exceptional faith. But I want to tell you, disobedience is the opposite of faith. Faith works out in obedience. The severity of this test, I'm talking about this rigor of his test, the severity of this test for Abraham helped to illustrate the lesson that the writer of Hebrews was trying to teach to these Hebrew Christians. They, friend, were facing rough times. They were facing tough tests. Amen. And God had a design, and He was trying to demonstrate to them that God was trusting them, and through great efficiency of faith, He was going to show the power of their faith and the strength of their faith and the character of their faith through this great test. Well, friend, that's all the time I've got for today's message. I hope you will stay strong in the faith and trust God to help you make it the next step and the next test. And Lord willing, we'll be back on tomorrow's broadcast. May God bless you until then.